Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to come and speak to a great group of men that gather every week. And when you have men gathering and proclaiming the Word of God, it strengthens the community. And how many of you know in this day and age we need a strong community? Can you say amen to that? I want to just for a few minutes, I'm not going to take, they told me I had an hour and 10 minute time span that I could speak. I won't take that long. I'll shorten it up real quick. But thank you. I am honored. As I came in, one of the guys said, oh, Justin's older brother speaking today. That seems to be a trend lately, and I'm really feeling good about that. But then somebody said, well, maybe Justin's just looking older. So I was really hoping I was looking younger, but I'm very blessed to have Justin as my son. He's a wonderful young man of God, and I praise God for him. I got a younger son that I'm proud of, too. So it's a good time to come together as men to share the Word of God and just for a few moments enter into a time of being in the presence. I think we should be in His presence all the time, and we are because He's everywhere. But to just have this time to sit down and let some things go, open our minds to His Word. Amen? In John 4:24, it says, God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Today, I want to speak to you on just three things that that are a part of what marks the marks of a man after God's own heart. Last week, Rick done a tremendous job with the word that he brought to us, and I appreciated it. I didn't get a chance to get with him and tell him, but man, what a time to open up and be as transparent as he was with us. You know, that's what brings people to the Lord is when you get transparent. We can put on all the nice suits and all the nice clothes we want to and look real good and smile a whole lot, but when people find out you're real, then they're going to give you an opportunity to speak into their life. You see, we can talk all we want and we can look good, but until somebody really gives us the permission to speak into their life, we're really just going to be like a clanging cymbal to them. We're just going to make some noise. We're going to be the Charlie Brown teacher, wah, 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 and that's all we're really going to be to them. So when we get together, it's important that we really become transparent with each other. In that time, healing can come to each of us. And I think in this day and age, I've got to the place I don't even like to turn the news on. It's got to the place where my wife and I, we get ready for bed, and I'm waiting until like 10 or 12 after the hour to turn on so I can catch what the weather's going to be, because that seems to be important to me anymore, because there's nothing any good on the news anymore. And you say, well, you need to be up on the times. I agree. But after a while, it just weighs you down. And I think we're in a time right now as men that we need to be the guys that come along and lift people up. We're in a place, and even in our community, I attended last week a meeting on the opioid problem that we have, even in our own hometown. You know, you don't know a whole lot about it, but when I started listening in this meeting, I was like, what are we doing? What's happened to us? You see, we've missed a generation of kids. I said through a conference not long ago, we've missed a generation, and as men, as the leaders of our family, we've got to make sure that we don't let this next generation miss what God has for them, to let them know that God is there for them. The Bible tells us that the land will be cursed when the generations begin to be missed and aren't praising God. We need to become the men. It sometimes has to be the grandfathers, because we miss with our own kids. But we have to be able to reach out and begin to get another generation fired up and excited about who God is in their life, what they can become, that they don't need these opioids that the drug companies are pounding us with. They don't need those to make it through life. What they need is a good dose of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that for me? As I go through this today, I've got three little points there I'd love for you to write down. The first one is this. To be this man after God's own heart, we need to have a heart that praises. Man, I don't know about you, but that is one thing that I love to do, is just praise God. I'll share with you just my side, where I'm from, because that's what I know. I know that when I begin to praise Him, things happen in my life. when I'm putting my focus on him and I'm focused and praising him for what he's doing, things begin to move. Doors begin to open. Things begin to fall off. Where we're at crossroads, we're going through a great study right now, and it has helped me. It's called Transformed. Helping me to transform. And you say, well, how much do you need? I need transformed every day. Because I work in the workplace just like you do. I do things in this world just like you do. And things will hang on if we allow it. But we need to come to a place that we praise. Shabak. It's a Hebrew word. It means to exclaim, to shout, to address in a loud tone. I don't know about you, but I get excited for what God does in my life. And I get excited when somebody tells me what God's done in their life. But sometimes as men, we're afraid to allow those emotions to show. We'll get excited. We'll see people in church even at times raise their hand and say, yes, I'd like to have Jesus Christ become Lord and Savior of my life. And the pastor will say, man, we've had three, we've had five, we had one. And here's our excitement. Praise God. I don't know about you, but the day God got hold of me and saved me, you couldn't hold back my shouts. But I know where I had been, and you know where you had been. And that, those are things when you begin to realize what God has done to set me free from the things that were in my life that he said, you know what, Mike, no longer do I even remember those things that happened even 5 minutes before you walked into the church. Today, when you said yes to me, those things were cast away. They were thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. And from this day forward, you can walk with me and you can have the freedoms and the liberties in me. And that gave me something to shout about. You see, when you're under such a heavy load, it's hard to shout. I can tell you right now that some of you aren't shouting because the Cubs got beat again. And you're looking out and you're saying, we're down 3-0 and we're going back to L.A. It's probably not going to be too good. Are they going back yet? They still got one more? So it's going to be tough. And so our shouts kind of went out the window. But how about when you see something happen in your life or in a brother's life that sets them free? You see, you're able to say, wow, but with more of an exclamation, because there's things that go on in our life that we need to praise. There's the Geico commercial I love, right? My wife, she thinks I'm crazy for it, but I love it. It's the guy that's sitting in the orchestra with all the people who play those beautiful instruments that blast out. And he's the little guy with the little ding. And sometimes in our life, that's where we find ourselves. We're set amongst these men that are here, and we're looking around and we're saying, man, that table over there, they're the most blessed table in the whole place. That table over there, I wish I could drive half the car that they drive. That table over there, man, they are known by everybody in town. And I'm just a little ting. You see, sometimes the little ting is important for God. Because what God has given you is important. And every once in a while, you need to take your ting and do like the guy does in this commercial and come out and do a solo. You need to get out there and say, you know what, I've been doing this thing on, I've been part of it, I've seen it, and I've been blessed, but I haven't really given the opportunity to tell somebody about my ting. And every once in a while, you just got to get out in front of people and say, you know what? It doesn't matter. You may laugh at me from now until the day you die or I die or we move on. But in my ting, I'm going to let you know something. God has done something great for me. He has set me free. He's delivered me from whatever your delivery needed to be done. But in all of that, God gets the glory. And I want to get up and give him a solo every once in a while and say, this is what God done for me. And when we get to a place that we'll say, you know what, it doesn't matter. You can laugh me down all you want to, but when I get ready, my ting is going to sound pretty. I'm going to give you my best little dance where you get out there and you hop along. I'm going to get out there and let people know that it doesn't matter because God gets the glory in everything that's going on in my life. I've been blessed. I'm one of the unlearned, like the disciples. I've got a job. I've been at Haynes for 36 years. I do a job that is called metallography. Never been to college at all for it, but I was blessed enough. God said, if you want to learn, I'll bless you. And he put me under a man who had done this work for a long time. And I said, I just want to learn. Teach me. And I sat under his tutelage for a while. He retired. It moved me into position. They bring all the engineers that come to Haynes now, and they say, Mike, set them down and teach them. I'm the unlearned. The disciples were the ones that amazed people because they were unlearned. They said, aren't those gentlemen the unlearned guys? You see, it doesn't matter where you come from, what your background is. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. What he's looking for is a group of people who will get together and begin to praise him for who he is. Praise him for what he does in your life. You know, sometimes, and I say this, as I said earlier, you look around and you say, well, man, they drove in their Cadillac, and I drove in on three wheels, and one was going thump, 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 thump all the way. And you look at it, and that's not what it's about. Because we're blessed, and you're sitting here, and you may have a wonderful wife at home, and kids and grandkids, and you're saying, I am blessed to the fullest. And there may be some sitting here today saying, I'm not that blessed. Can I say to you today, sometimes you got to praise your way out of what you're in to get into the fullness of God's blessings for your life. Praising him takes you out of you and into him. And I think sometimes we get stuck in the looking around at what's going on and we forget to praise him. I praise him today that I was even able to get up and speak before you today. I praise him because there was a time in my life, if I was in a group of people of three or more and I didn't know all three of them, I wouldn't speak. There was that thing about me, I felt insecure. I felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt unlearned. And if we were in a group of people that were somebody's, I promise you, I slid away. But God got hold of my heart. And he said, if you'll praise me, I'll use you. If you'll praise God, he'll use you. How many people do you see every day that you come in contact with that you know they're hurting, and yet you haven't shared what God's done? You said, but if they're hurting, they don't want to hear it. Let them know what God can do for them because he's done it for you. He's no respecter of persons. So we sit here today and I look around and I see gentlemen that are older. I see young men who have come in here that need to know that it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your culture. God is no respecter of persons. And he'll do the same for you as he'll do for me. Can you say amen? Amen. We need to do this. We need to do a few things. And I'll read these off to you real quick. We need to meditate on God's power. Bible tells us in Philippians 4:13, we know this very well. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to begin to memorize Psalms of praise. We need to be able to bring those things up. Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Begin to understand God and master his promises. We need to know, what does he promise? Psalm 68:19 says, praise be to the Lord, to our God, our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. My wife and I are in the process right now of building a house. Build it, they said, it'll be fun. Build it, they said, your house will sell very quickly, the one you live in. Build it, you're going to love it. Yeah. Every day. I look. Do we hear anything? Anybody interested in the house? No calls yet. Okay. Not that that's a burden that I may have two house payments here in the near future. But you know what? I need to know that God's got this. God's got this. We trusted God. We prayed. We asked God, if this is to be for us, then you open the doors. If it's not, God, you shut the doors, and we'll know those doors are shut, and we won't go any further. We are perfectly happy where we're at. We're just trying to downsize. And this was the way our financial, we spoke with him. He said, this is the way to go. And we said, we want peace first. So we prayed, and God gave us peace to do this. He's got promises that take care of our burdens. We need to marvel over God's provisions. Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And we need to mull over the presence of God. How often do we really begin to sense God in our presence? We go about our daily business fast. Everything's fast anymore. If we push a button and it doesn't happen that quick, we're upset. We hit our computers. Man, I can remember when I first started even looking at a computer, that dial-up thing, and you had to listen to the dial tone, and then you had to listen to it dial up, and you sat there and waited, and you were still amazed when it finally came up, and you went, wow. Now we turn it on and hit a button, and if we don't have the answer right away, we're calling somebody, hey, what's wrong with IT? They're not doing their job. We need things fast. We need to be aware of God's presence. And we need to magnify God's protection. As we talk about David, David was a man just like you and I. One man. David was a one-man person just like you and I. And he done his thing right and wrong, just like you and I, every day. David had some things that he was real proud of, and he had some things he wasn't real proud of. And if we all opened our skeleton box, we'd all say, I've got some things I'm really proud of. And brother, I got some things I'm not proud of at all. But God said, this is still a man after my own heart. Because David sought the presence of God. He sought to be in his, just like him if he could. It's important. As we practice the presence of God in our lives, we find out how tremendously blessed we really are. I think last week, Rick really touched me, and I really wanted to get to him, but he was surrounded. He shared with us a praise. In one of the toughest times of anybody's life, I don't care who you are or what you've been through, he had to watch his son die. And yet he stood up here last week and he praised God for the miracle that took place after they prayed and said, God, give us more time. And his praise report was this. He gave it how much more time? 4 months. God gave him 4 more months. You know what? Some of us would say, we got cheated. Rick stood before us last week and said, praise God. He gave us 4 months. You see, even in the toughest times of your life, you've got to learn to say, somewhere in this, I got to praise God. Because he's still God. And the moment we start thinking that we're in a place that we can lay around and moan and groan about these things, we've got to look back and say, what did God do for us? He gave his best. That you and I could meet today and praise him for who he is. Can you say amen to that? The second thing is this, a heart that worships. I'm going to speed along here. A heart that worships. We need as men to be the guys who lead our families and take them to church. Now, this sometimes isn't always the happiest thing to hear. You say, well, I'm meeting with Huddle. Let me tell you what happened to me, and I'm just going to move this right along. My kids and my first wife would go to church every Sunday, and I'd sit at home reading the paper, getting ready for my spiritual side of things for the football weekend. And they would go. One weekend, my kids came home and said, Dad, why don't you go to church with us? Heart check. I wasn't going to lie to my kids. I said, I don't know, because I really didn't know. And they said, will you go with us next weekend? And I said, I'll go. I went that following weekend, and God had had this all in line because I couldn't. It was one of those where I didn't even, preacher quit preaching, just make an altar call. I was holding on as tight as I could. I didn't want to go, but God had got hold of me, had prepared me for that weekend. And when he made the altar call, I went running. I couldn't wait to get there. And from that day forward, God changed my life. Amen. But you know what? It took getting to church. Sitting at home watching Sunday football is not going to do it. Sitting at home while your wife and kids isn't going to do it. You've got to become the spiritual leader. You've got to be the one that leads them in and says, this is what the Bible says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we as men need to set the example before our wives and our kids and our grandkids and get this next generation into the house of God so that they can hear the Word of God. I don't know where you go to church. It really doesn't matter. Get them somewhere where the Word of God is being preached, that their lives can be changed, that they can get under the Word of God, that they can grow in Christ themselves. Because at the end of the day, it's going to be a spiritual battle for their lives. And at the end of the day, it's going to become personal. Because you can stand before God and weep for them all you want, but until they make that decision themselves, it's not going to matter. We've got to get them in. Get them to where they can hear the Word of God. We've got to have a heart that worships and teaches our kids and our families to worship. Can you say amen to that? Third thing, I'll wrap this up. We got to have a heart that serves. A heart that serves. I thank the huddle group. These men serve all the time. Thank you that are doing your parts and serving our community, our police officers. Praise God for those men that are peacemakers and peacekeepers. Thank God. My son is a police officer. And let me tell you something. You want to learn to pray, let one of your kids become a police officer right now. You'll learn to pray an awful lot. But I'll tell you, we need to come to this place that we serve. Serve the Lord somehow. You say, what is it I can do? I don't know. What's your talents? What's your talents? What's going on in your life that tugs at your heart every time you see something? Mine is I, as a little kid, I can even remember. We'd be on a short vacation, and the thing that would just grip my heart even as a child was to see somebody walking down the street pushing a grocery basket, knowing that they were homeless. And I remember the first time my mom said, those people don't have a place to live, honey. And I thought, how do people not have a place to live? As a kid, well, I got a place to live. You see, not everybody has everything we have. There are people out there that need us to reach them, to let them know, you know what? You're important to God. You're not a mistake. God had you here for a purpose. Each one of us here for a purpose. What is your talents? What is it that you can do? What tugs at your heartstrings when you see something in the community that you could reach out and help with? Maybe you can teach. Maybe you can serve in my. These ladies, thank God for you for coming and serving these men. There's nothing like a grouchy bunch of men when they're hungry. So you've made this easy for me. They're a little fuller now. They're going to sit and be a little quieter. But we thank God for those who will serve. We need to serve. Find something. God's given each one of us a talent. You say, mine's not important. It is if he's given it to you. There's somebody that needs your talent that they can be able to move forward. And once you help somebody, they learn to help somebody else. And they learn to help somebody else. So today, as you look at these things that we've talked about, we need to have a heart that praises. We need to have a heart that worships. And we need to have a heart that serves. And when we come into those places and we begin to put all these things together, the five things Rick taught us last week to obey. He taught us and talked to us about praying. Today I'm talking to you about praising, about worshiping, and about serving. Those are the things that begin to draw us and give us the heart of God. Because when we look at it, there's a scripture that is very, very definite. The Bible tells us that Jesus didn't come to be served, but he came to serve others. And if that is who we look to as our model, then we too need to understand that we didn't come to be served. We come to serve. Today I thank you for the opportunity to spend a few moments and share with you these things. And I'm going to pray, and then I'll let you have a time of discussion. Again, God bless you, men. Take on these things. Again, I go back, Rick, I have not been able to forget Rick's word last week. It was transparent. It let you know the heart of a man. And for you today, may your heart be open. May you become transparent with each other, that we can grow together in Christ to become a strong community of men that says, as for us and our community, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I ask, Lord, that in these few moments, that, Lord, we'll just share, that we'll come to a place that we're open. God, you're the one that we look to in all of our needs. You're the one that we look to, Father, in our time of praise, of worship, and of serving. So give us, Lord, hearts to be ready to be the men that you would have us to be. I pray, Father, as they go today, that each man, each household that is represented here today, that the blessings of God will fall upon them and that they will begin to praise you for what you have done and for who you are. In all of these things, Lord, we're going to be sure to give you the praise. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.